Hello and welcome to FS 2022, an Erasmus Plus project funded by the European Commission for the development of new skills demanded by the labour market. My name is José Carlos León and I work for INDIPSI. In this podcast we will talk about social influence and we have the pleasure of having with us Ana López Sousa, Bachelor in Information Sciences with over 20 years experience in national television media, founder of the consulting firm Global Change and teacher in several seminars, Masters of the University of Seville and Loyola, in Andalusia, and having a wide experience working in this field in companies and organizations. Hello Ana and thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much. I am delighted to be here with you today.
The first question is obvious, but perhaps not so obvious. What is social influence?
If we look at the two words that are involved in the definition, we see that on the one hand, there is the capacity to influence, and on the other the sense of influence, where it comes from or where it is going. Social influence is the central object of social psychology, which is nothing more than the attempt to understand and explain how the feelings, thoughts, or behaviors of one individual can be influenced by the real, imagined, implicit, or explicit presence of another. That is, the ability of others to influence us and make us change emotions, behaviors or ideas, but also to have the ability to change or influence the behavior of others.
How does this affect the work environment?
If we had learnt this since childhood, we would understand how the techniques of persuasion and influence affect us. We would have also learnt what techniques others used in a way that has made us have certain behaviours or decisions that we have not been aware of how and that they have occurred. We understand many of the processes that automatically occur in interpersonal relationships on a daily basis.
What can a worker do to be socially influential?
First of all, knowing the techniques of influence can help us know how others are using them with us. So as a worker I become more aware of my real and reasoned responses. On the other hand, if I use these techniques with others, I can get more out of relationships. If we listen to what Rafael Echevarria says when he indicates that organizations are conversational networks, we would understand how the relationships we build with other people and others build with us are mediated by these techniques of influence. There is an author in the field of social influence, Robert Cialdini, who talks about the six basic techniques. The first technique is the principle of reciprocity, because in social relations there is a greater satisfaction when we are treated the same as the others. The second is the theory of scarcity, which is a great value in our society. How many times are we going to present an idea, and we want to give it relevance to create a space for listening in a meeting with the management of the company or with our team? I would try to make sure that I am conveying what we are going to contribute is something very difficult to achieve in the market, because it is very scarce. This applies to those who are working and for those who are looking for a job, and it is vital in order to put into value what they can contribute, their unique profile, their experience, their knowledge, their training. A third factor is social validation to create a sense of trust by acting like the people around us, something that is also very important at the international level. Another one is the sympathy factor, because in the end, doing what the people we love want makes it easier for the one who wants to exert the influence. If someone, because of their leadership, has a strong capacity to influence us, we should ask ourselves how we can generate this principle of sympathy and awaken in the people around us the desire to listen to us and be with us. Another very interesting principle is having authority, which is very important in an organization, because we come from a culture in which we are obliged to obey the one who leads. This often means that we do not ask a question that reveals a possible error or something that can be improved, because the principle of authority means that we do not have the capacity to influence, but that others impose their way of transmitting ideas on us from an unconscious point of view. Cialdini's last principle is that of coherence, by which we seek the agreement of what others ask for with previous actions or previously acquired commitments. If I try to establish a previous commitment with someone, then I will be able to ask or suggest something that is in line with that acquired commitment. Can you imagine that we could analyze these six techniques, not only as agents of influence, but to know how others do it automatically with us?
So is influence and leadership not just a matter for CEOs or managers?
I have been working for years on the concept of leadership as an influence capacity. Therefore, if leadership is a sign of influence, it no longer has to be linked to a hierarchical rank in the organization, but can be exercised by any member. There is a tendency in organizations to do this, because in this way we would make 100% of the talent profitable. If each person felt like a leader, an agent of change or transformation, we could have companies with much more profitable workforce. On the contrary, if we only leave the ability to persuade or influence people with management positions, the rest will be passive beings who only receive orders, creating an organization far from an ideal as an engine of talent and creativity. From my experience in television, I understood that it would not be productive if the only one who could exercise change or creativity was the director. Everyone is an actor of influence, from the alderman to the guide or the actors themselves. How many films have changed their direction because a scriptwriter, an actor, or a director turned the initial project around?
We've already talked about the benefits, but what are the negative effects of not being influential in an employment context?
For example, if we enter an organization and let ourselves be guided by the principle of reciprocity, even though we have a lot of talent, we will not be able to contribute well, nor will we give 100% because we are being guided by that organizational culture. We could also avoid many mistakes in an organization if we are guided by the principle of authority, by which we are forced to obey the one who commands. What would happen when mistakes are occurring and we do not have the capacity to act? In this sense, the example of Nokia is very significant, a case study of how managers only expected good news, which made them not listen to people who were detecting possible failures in the development of many projects. By knowing these techniques, we can be better workers and understand how others can lead us in a more authentic way without falling into automatic responses.
Thank you, Anna, for sharing examples and for introducing us to the field of social influence in the working environment. And if you want to have further information about our project, just visit our website www.fs2022.eu or our Facebook profile.